Welcome to A-Level Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready, one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and philosophically rich topics on the OCR Religious Studies specification, religious experience. Whether you're revising for the first time or polishing your essay technique in the final weeks before your exams, this episode is going to give you everything you need. We're talking William James, Rudolf Otto, Swinburne's principles, Persinger's God Helmet, and the big philosophical question at the heart of it all. Can a personal, subjective experience ever count as evidence for God? Let's get into it. So first, let's set the scene. The topic of religious experience sits within Component 1 of the OCR H573 specification, and it's a topic that rewards students who can do more than just describe. The assessment objective split is 40% AO1, that's knowledge and understanding, and 60% AO2, which is critical analysis and evaluation. So right from the start, your mindset should be, I'm not just going to tell the examiner what scholars said. I'm going to interrogate those ideas, weigh them against each other, and reach a justified conclusion. Right, core concepts. Let's start with William James, because he is absolutely foundational to this topic. James was an American philosopher and psychologist who published his landmark work, The Varieties of Religious Experience, in 1902. He studied hundreds of first-person accounts of religious experience and identified four common characteristics. And here's your first memory hook. Pete, P-I-N-T. Passivity, ineffability, noetic quality, and transiency. Let's unpack each one. Passivity means the individual feels acted upon by a power greater than themselves. They are not in control. The experience happens to them. Think of St. Paul on the road to Damascus. He was knocked to the ground, blinded, and heard a voice. He wasn't seeking this experience. It came to him. That's passivity. Ineffability means the experience cannot be adequately described in words. Language simply fails. Mystics across traditions, Christian, Sufi, Hindu, consistently report that their encounter with the divine is beyond linguistic expression. You can gesture toward it, but you can't capture it. This is philosophically significant because it suggests the experience belongs to a different category of reality from ordinary sense perception. Noetic quality means the experience carries genuine knowledge or insight. It's not just an emotional rush. It conveys what James called illuminations of fact. Teresa of Avila, the 16th century Spanish mystic, described her interior castle visions as revealing profound truths about the soul's relationship to God. The knowledge felt authoritative and lasting. And transiency means the experience is temporary. It doesn't last, but, and this is crucial for your essays, the effects often do. The experience may be brief, but it can transform a person's life permanently. St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus lasted moments, but it redirected the entire course of Christian history. Now, here's a critical point that many candidates miss. James himself was cautious about making strong metaphysical claims. He argued that religious experiences are psychologically real. They genuinely occur and genuinely affect people. But he was more hesitant about claiming they prove God's existence. So when you use James in an essay, don't overstate his position. He's a pragmatist, not a theologian. Moving on to Rudolf Otto. Otto was a German theologian who published the Idea of the Holy in 1917. His central concept is the numinous, and this is distinct from James, so don't confuse them. Otto argued that the experience of the divine is fundamentally an experience of what he called the mysterium tremendum et fascinans. Let's break that down. Mysterium, it is wholly other, utterly beyond ordinary human categories. Tremendum, it inspires awe, dread, and overwhelming power. Think of Moses before the burning bush, removing his sandals because the ground is holy. And fascinans, it is simultaneously compelling and attractive. You are drawn toward it even as you are overwhelmed by it. Otto's contribution is important because he argues that religious experience is sui generis, in a category of its own. It cannot be reduced to emotion or morality or anything else. This is a direct challenge to reductionist accounts, which we'll come to shortly. Now let's talk about the philosopher who makes the strongest case for taking religious experience seriously as evidence for God, Richard Swinburne. Swinburne is a contemporary Oxford philosopher and a committed theist. In his 1979 work, The Existence of God, he put forward two key principles. The principle of credulity states that, as a matter of rational principle, if it seems to a person that X is present, then probably X is present, unless we have specific reasons to doubt it. In other words, we should take experience at face value. If someone sincerely reports experiencing God, we have a prima facie reason to believe they did. Swinburne argues this is simply how we treat all perception. If you seem to see a chair, we assume there is a chair, unless there's a specific reason to think otherwise. The principle of testimony states that we should, in the absence of special considerations, believe what others tell us about their experiences. If millions of people across cultures and centuries report experiencing God, this cumulative testimony constitutes genuine evidence. Now, here's where your AO2 marks are earned. You need to critically engage with Swinburne's special considerations. Swinburne himself admits there are circumstances where we should not trust experience. If the person is known to be unreliable, if the experience contradicts established facts, or if there's a better explanation available. And this is exactly where the scientific critics come in. Michael Persinger was a Canadian neuroscientist who conducted a series of experiments in the 1980s and 1990s using a modified motorcycle helmet fitted with electromagnets, now famously known as the God helmet. By applying weak magnetic fields to the temporal lobes of the brain, Persinger claimed he could induce experiences of a sensed presence, a feeling that someone or something was in the room. He argued this demonstrated that religious experiences are generated by temporal lobe activity, not by any external divine reality. Now, how should you handle this in an essay? The key move is not to simply say, "Persinger proves religious experience is just brain activity." That's too simplistic. Instead, argue this. Even if Persinger can artificially induce an experience that resembles religious experience, this does not necessarily invalidate the genuine article. Consider an analogy. The fact that we can artificially induce hunger by manipulating brain chemistry does not mean that real hunger is not a response to real food. The mechanism of experience does not determine the reality of its object. This is a sophisticated point that will access the higher mark bands. It's also worth noting that Persinger's results have been challenged. A 2004 replication study by Per Grönqvist found that the effects Persinger reported were largely due to suggestion. Participants who were told they might feel a presence were more likely to report one, regardless of whether the helmet was actually active. Now let's turn to the psychological critiques. Ludwig Feuerbach, the 19th century German philosopher, argued in The Essence of Christianity, published in 1841, that God is simply a projection of human nature. Humans take their own best qualities, love, wisdom, power, and project them outward onto an imagined divine being. Religious experience on this account is not an encounter with an external reality. It is an encounter with the self, dressed up in theological language. This is a powerful critique, but it has a significant weakness. It commits what philosophers call the genetic fallacy. Even if we can explain the psychological origin of a belief, that doesn't tell us whether the belief is true. The fact that humans might be psychologically disposed to have religious experiences doesn't prove those experiences have no external referent. Sigmund Freud made a similar argument, describing religion as an illusion rooted in wish fulfillment and the projection of a father figure. Again, the genetic fallacy applies. Now, let's talk exam technique. This is where I want to be really direct with you. First, the 40-60 AO1-AO2 split. In a 30-mark essay, roughly 12 marks are for knowledge and 18 are for evaluation. This means you should spend more time arguing than describing. A common mistake is spending three paragraphs carefully explaining what James, Otto, and Swinburne said, and then cramming the entire critical evaluation into a rushed final paragraph. Flip that ratio. Use your knowledge to set up your arguments, not as an end in itself. Second, don't just juxtapose scholars. James says X, Freud says Y is not analysis. Analysis means asking who has the stronger argument and why. What are the assumptions each scholar makes? Where do they talk past each other? Third, the God of the Gaps problem. When you discuss scientific challenges like Persinger, you need to engage with the counterargument that explaining the mechanism of experience doesn't explain away God. But also acknowledge that if every religious experience can be given a naturalistic explanation, the cumulative weight of those explanations does put pressure on theistic interpretations. Don't dismiss the scientific challenge, interrogate it. Fourth, use specific examples. The Toronto Blessing of 1994 is a brilliant case study for corporate religious experience. Thousands of people at the Airport Vineyard Church in Toronto reported simultaneous experiences of being slain in the spirit. Falling, laughing uncontrollably, shaking, this raises fascinating questions. Does the corporate, shared nature of the experience strengthen its evidential force, or does it suggest social contagion rather than divine intervention? Use this example to show you can apply theory to evidence. Fifth, synoptic links. The nature of God topic connects directly here. If God is omnipresent and personal, as classical theism holds, then direct human experience of God becomes more plausible. But if God is wholly other, as Otto himself suggests, then can any human experience truly capture the divine? This tension is worth exploring. Now for our quickfire recall quiz, cover your notes and see how you do. Question 1. What does PINT stand for in William James's framework? That's passivity, ineffability, noetic quality, and transiency. Question 2. What are the three components of Otto's Mysterium Tremendum 8 Fascinans? Mysterium, holy other. Tremendum, awe-inspiring power. Fascinans, compelling attraction. Question 3. State Swinburne's principle of credulity in one sentence. If it seems to a person that X is present, then probably X is present unless we have specific reasons to doubt it. Question 4. What is the main criticism of Persinger's God Helmet experiments? Either that artificially inducing an experience doesn't invalidate genuine experiences, the mechanism doesn't determine the object, or that Grankvist's 2004 replication found the effects were largely due to suggestion. Question 5. What is the genetic fallacy and why does it matter for Feuerbach? The genetic fallacy is assuming that explaining the origin of a belief disproves the belief. Even if Feuerbach is right that God is psychologically constructed, this doesn't prove God doesn't exist. How did you do? If you got all 5, you're in great shape. If not, go back and review those sections. Let's wrap up. Religious experience is a topic that rewards philosophical sophistication. The best essays don't just list what scholars said, they construct a genuine argument about whether religious experience can serve as evidence for God. The key tension is between the phenomenological richness of the experiences themselves, their transformative power, their cross-cultural consistency, their noetic quality, and the reductionist challenges that seek to explain them away through neuroscience and psychology. Remember, PINT for James, Mysterium Tremendum, 8 Fascinans for Otto, Credulity and Testimony for Swinburne, God Helmet for Persinger, and Projection for Feuerbach. Keep your AO2 dominant, engage critically rather than descriptively, and use specific examples like St. Paul, Teresa of Avila, and the Toronto Blessing to ground your arguments in concrete evidence. You've got this. Good luck in your exams, and I'll see you in the next episode of A-Level Unlocked.